Welcome to Countdown to Kickoff here on WAER.
Across the 10 to the 5, still on his feet, and into the end zone. Touchdown, Syracuse.
Battle straightaway free, sinks it. Tyus Battle is 5 for 5. The freshman is on fire.
Pass in front to Evans. Oh, what a shot and a goal. Behind the back by Jordan Evans.
Welcome back to the double overtime here on WAER.
The greatest stories from America's greatest college sports station. It's time for the best of WAER Sports Podcast.
The yearly golf event, the Masters, has coined the phrase a tradition unlike any other. For basketball fans, there is another yearly event that is the must-see basketball tournament of the year. But as WAER's Connor Federico tells us, it's probably not the tournament you're thinking of, and it is succinctly known as the basketball tournament.
I really think that this is the highest level of basketball you can find in the world besides the NBA.
It's not Division I basketball. It's not China or Europe or somewhere overseas. It isn't even the Olympics. According to Syracuse alum Kevin Belby, some of the world's best competition takes place in a two-week-long tournament in the middle of the summer.
TBT, the basketball tournament, is a really competitive product. When you put 10 guys on a court who are all competitive, all very skilled, and, you know, kind of put a $2 million check in the middle of the court for them to go grab, it gets physical, it gets intense, and the level of play is just very, very high.
The basketball tournament is only 5 years old, but its presence is starting to make waves with hoops fans. It's a 72-team, 5-on-5, single-elimination tournament. $2 million, winner-take-all. Belby is the GM of Boeheim's Army, the Syracuse alumni team that competes for that big check every summer.
I've got a really fun job where it's almost like fantasy basketball in real life, where I'm just trying to put together the best Syracuse basketball team of former players that I can, and that's the fun part for me.
Great pass, Diefendorfer just gets the bounce and the foul.
Sutherland, he puts up a left wing three and drills this one.
Rebound by Onuwaku, gets it and the foul with the left hand.
Trish, straightaway three, jackpot. Big time shot for Brandon Trish. He is feeling it.
Drives lane, reverse layup, good from Paul Harris.
Handoff for Joseph and a two-hand slam.
By Chris Joseph.
Chris flying through the lane, an explosive moment.
Three in the corner, blocked by Warwick. It's blocked by Warwick.
You need guys who are going to make big baskets. I mean, we have some. We've got Trish. We've got Diefendorfer. We've got James Sutherland. Hopefully, you know, Chris becomes one of those go-to guys. Gillen, the Duke game winner speaks for itself.
Gillen, a three at the buzzer. Oh, it's good. And he made it. Now Gillen bakes in the game winner from three.
The Boeheim's Army roster consists of Syracuse stars ranging from 2001 to 2016. Although the team is separated by many eras of college basketball, being forever orange unites them. Alumni teams are now commonplace in TBT. This summer, 28 teams were made up exclusively of players from a particular school. But only two squads were good enough to earn one seed in the basketball tournament, Syracuse's Boeheim's Army and Ohio State's Scarlet and Gray.
We have a really good team.
Sullinger surrounded, muscles it up and in.
Mullins will try the three out front. Comes right back to him. He'll come right down the lane and rip it.
Here's Oden back in and doubled up and dunks.
Oden having an outstanding ball game.
Kraft still dribbling. 3 seconds left. Kraft shoots it high on the right for three.
Got it! Aaron Kraft with a tenth of seconds left.
It's good when you can look down the bench. You know, next guy you put in, you can rely on him. Obviously, that's the recipe to win. You've got to have a bench.
Scooney Penn was an Ohio State All-American nearly 20 years ago, but today he's the GM of Scarlet and Gray, the Buckeyes alumni team. For Penn and former Ohio State star Jared Sullinger, the TBT experience is incredible.
The buzz was electric. A lot of people wanted to come watch and be a part of it.
I kind of got chills because it was like, damn, we're playing in front of the hometown again, and you see all the Scarlet and Gray, you see the student section, you don't get that. You don't get that. Where we go, you don't get no student section going crazy. Now it's fans and they just kind of sit there and they clap and they You know, but our fans, they're crazy. They're crazy, and we loved it. We loved it. It was great.
And the Syracuse team echoes that same sentiment. Former standout Chris Joseph couldn't be happier playing in front of Orange fans again.
It makes me feel like a kid again, really. You know, it makes me feel like my days on campus. The camaraderie that we had then, we still have now. These are guys that I keep in contact with throughout the years since I've been gone. So I left in 2012, and these are relationships that I maintained over the years. So it's just good to be back out here and being able to compete again with these guys.
For both former Orange and Buckeyes, there's plenty of reasons to play in the TBT. There's the $2 million, the huge exposure, and it's fun. But both GMs, Belby for Boeheim's Army and Penn for Scarlet and Gray, couldn't be happier to see their players representing their schools again.
A bunch of people make the trip every year from Syracuse. These guys appreciate them doing it, and we try to give them as good of an experience as possible, both on the court and off the court, trying to get the fans to meet our guys and just create a great experience.
You see, you know, guys that wore the jersey and guys that are wearing the jersey, it's a direct correlation. And I think I think our success here with this TBT, you know, the further we go, the more we win, the more Ohio State gets spoken about, the more the buzz, and that rolls right into, you know, what the program is doing, you know, with our guys currently in school right now.
Connor Federico, WAER Sports.
Last weekend, Syracuse battled the Cornell Big Red in what's become a mainstay of the Orange's non-conference schedule. But WAER's Cooper Boardman explains what New York State opponents and early season challenges mean for SU's resume in 2018.
Tonight marks just past the halfway point of Syracuse's 2018 non-conference schedule. The Orange play their seventh of 13 total games outside the ACC. And Jim Boeheim, famously, has always had plenty to say about the non-conference slate.
It's not our schedule. It's how many games we didn't win. It's the games we lost. It's not that we didn't play people.
Our strength of schedule was better this year. Our non-conference strength of schedule was great.
And we got to figure out a way to do it better, a better job.
They should be evaluated on how well they played.
When you're trying to get into the NCAA tournament, one of the biggest factors is how good the teams you play are. That makes perfect sense. The better teams you play, the better chance you have of strengthening your resume come March. Syracuse can't control its ACC schedule. That's set by the conference and always features plenty of top 25 opponents. But what it can control is who it plays in November and December, the non-conference.
The battle for the Empire State goes to the Orange. 71-62 victory over Iona.
But Buffalo's comeback falls short. Syracuse 81, Buffalo 74.
And St. Bonaventure wins it. 60-57. The Bonnies come into Syracuse, knock off the Orange.
When we take a deep dive into the recent out-of-ACC matchups, the first thing that jumps out is the sheer number of local teams on the docket. Cornell, Colgate, Buffalo, and more are examples of teams with proximity, and they're not going anywhere.
Coach, why such a long layoff in between playing Buffalo? It's been a number of years, and is this a game you'd like to play?
We didn't offer to play them several times. They didn't want to play.
You want to play moving forward?
Yeah, they're good. It's a good game.
That's Buffalo, but take Cornell for example. The Big Red and Orange meet for the sixth consecutive year tonight and the 32nd time in Jim Boeheim's tenure. But the other part of these local teams is that they're actually pretty good.
But it's a Buffalo story in Boise, Idaho. Dangerous pass by Hands, broken up. Snockert, going coastal. Bodies back in front.
Buffalo crushed Arizona and St. Bonaventure knocked UCLA off in last year's NCAA tourney. Syracuse faced both teams in its non-conference schedule, and a loss to the Bonnies didn't really hurt the Orange too much. Even other New York State teams are getting better. Last year, Syracuse beat a Colgate team that ranked worse than 200th in the KenPom ratings, a ranking system designed to determine expected winning percentage. This year, the Raiders are already 25 spots better.
Syracuse makes it 53 in a row against the Colgate Raiders. They've won every game since 1962.
Colgate could end up being a quadrant 3 win. A year ago, it was a quadrant 4 victory. What that means is a win over a good local non-conference team like the Raiders could make a big difference come March.
right here inside the Garden.
Here in American Airlines Arena.
Syracuse is in Madison, Wisconsin.
The other big part of the non-conference equation are games like these. Neutral site, road, or ACC Big Ten Challenge showdowns with some of the country's top teams. Jim Boeheim gets plenty of flack for his early season scheduling.
Eastern Washington only puts up 34, and Syracuse looks strong early in the year.
84-70 over Morehead State.
And to be fair, rightfully so. But the Orange have also faced 9 top 25 opponents in the non-conference since joining the ACC in 2013. SU is 5-4 in those games. Last year, it might have made the difference in the Cuse sneaking into the Big Dance.
Overall, our strength of schedule is something the committee has always talked about. We've been criticized for in the past. But of all the bubble teams, we have the strongest, just about the strongest non-conference strength of schedule. I think that helped us.
So what does all this mean? Well, including tonight, Syracuse has 7 non-conference games to go. And so far, SU is 4-2 outside the ACC. That's a couple wins over probable Quadrant 4 teams. That won't really boost the resume. And then...
UConn defeats Syracuse at Madison Square Garden.
Tonight, they fall to the number 13 Oregon Ducks.
2 losses. But the good news for Syracuse is that for the first time in a while, its strength of schedule is really good. SU ranks 30th in the country in that department, and the conference slate will only boost that. To compare, SU ranked 71st in the nation a year ago in strength of schedule. And that means there are plenty of opportunities to improve its tourney chances.
Syracuse comes into Columbus and picks up a 10-point win against the 16th-ranked Buckeyes.
That will help, and Jim Boeheim made that clear after his team's road win on Wednesday night.
They're a really good team. We're happy to get a win here. A really good coach. This was a great win for us.
SU still has its normal mix of New York State foes coming up, but one thing's for sure. Its non-conference schedule now has a real chance to help it in March. Cooper Boardman, WAER Sports.
Thanks for listening to the best of WAER Sports Podcast. Find a full broadcast schedule at our website, WAER.org. Follow us on Twitter and subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for automatic delivery of new episodes. Just search for WAER Sports.